What is going on, people? We've got an exciting, exciting show for you today. As always, my name is Steve. I'm going to let some viewers get into the show so they could see it on YouTube, on Periscope, on Facebook, on LinkedIn, all over the place. You're all going to be able to see it. So if you don't know, my name is Steve. I am your favorite freight broker or the freight broker you love to hate to love or whatever. I like that one. That's why I keep saying it. At any rate, in this awesome episode of Freight Broker Live, we are going to cover
Amazon's
takeover of India. Kenworth announces more layoffs. The trucking company owner who is told to pay or we will take your truck. And driver rights and responsibilities if you want to own a trucking company and want to do it right. I'm going to cover truck order not used, detention, all that kind of stuff, you know, to go along with other shows and other content. And we're going to have an article out later, hopefully. So I figure I'm going to talk about all that. But without further ado, here's my intro song. Freight Broker. Freight Broker. Freight Broker. Is my new intro, and I'm going to do it myself every time because I think it's funny. Plus, my face turns super red. Anyway, today is January 15th. It is exactly 2:01 on the East Coast, 11 o'clock on the West Coast. We're here to talk freight. We're going to learn. I'm going to educate you, or you're going to educate me, one or the other. So let me explain my show. So I'm an audience-based participation, whatever. So type comments. I see the comments. I have a phone line. You can call in later and be active on the show if you would like. Let me turn off this music. So that's how I go. I kind of have a format, but I like to kind of just wing it and go where the conversation goes. I'm an active freight broker. I have 15 years in the industry as a broker, as a carrier, as a dispatcher, as a fleet owner, as a sales guy, as a operations manager. I've got a bunch of experience and all that stuff. So you have any questions about the industry, whether you've been in it for 10 years or whether you're just getting started, answer a question. Our audience people, the people that are in the audience are super awesome. They'll answer. I saw Brittany's here. She's an insurance agent. You need insurance, you can reach out to her. You got me, who's awesome. You got Tyler. You got Benjamin. You've got Mike. And, there's just so many of you guys here. So without further ado, I'm going to start. And now you may see in the bottom where's the corner? Right there. We have a new sponsor for this month up until, for a while they're sponsoring us. And that is Trucker Tools. The free Trucker Tools mobile application, which is available on Android and iOS devices, is loaded with driver-friendly features and top-of-the-line tools to increase drivers' comfort and experience. It offers over 15 features, including truck stop guides, rest area guides, routing and fuel optimizers, medical examiner locations, weigh scales, and literally like 20 other things. It has so many features. It's such a necessity. I am a broker, and I've had Trucker Tools on my phone now since I think the app came out before it was super popular. And let me show you if I can get it. You're probably not going to be able to see it, but it's got way too many apps. It's got a bunch of apps, and it's going to be able to, it's got links to the Facebook page, axle weight calculators, permits and IFTA, weather magazines. It's literally got everything. Drivers also have the capability of scanning pertinent documents such as proof of delivery and bill of lading for easy access. Stay tuned. We're going to have interviews with them in the next month or so. We're going to have sponsor content. We're going to have a bunch of stuff. You guys will know Trucker Tools through and through. As at some point tonight, I will update my website so you can follow the link to do it, or you could just look on the iTunes Store, Google Play, whatever. They are everywhere. They have a bunch of downloads. Very trusted company. Super awesome company. And I'm super excited that they're able to, or that we were able to work out some deal. All right. I will what am I gonna do? Whatever. All right, so I'm gonna read some of the news and some of the pertinent stuff, and then I'll jump right into it. I'll get to the comments. So don't worry, I do see them. There's a lot of them. I'll get to them in a little bit, so just bear with me. So the first news story I'm gonna cover, I think it came from Trucker News. It's oh God. It's about a trucking company that was shut down by the FMCSA. So the owner and driver of a two truck carrier from Las Vegas has been shut down from the FMCSA for several violations. The FMCSA declared that, hold on, I got to turn down. I'm getting a lot of feedback, of course. The FMCSA declared that Nevada licensed commercial driver Mamadou Diaby to be an imminent hazard to public safety and has ordered him not to operate any commercial motor vehicle in interstate commerce. Diaby was served the federal order on January 3rd, shutting down his 4U Logistics, Inc. According to a statement from the FMCSA on December 12th, Diaby was operating a 4U Logistics tractor trailer en route to Missouri or from Missouri to Colorado and was seen driving erratically. He was stopped by the Kansas City Highway Patrol and failed a field sobriety test, recording a significantly elevated blood alcohol level. Authorities later found an open alcoholic beverage containers in a cooler next to the driver's seat. Moron. And I could say that because I'm not associated with any other big companies anymore. This guy is a moron. And this is the reason why trucking companies have a bad reputation. And I know you probably shouldn't say that. If you're watching this, good luck suing me, because apparently you don't have a trucking company anymore. Also during the December 12th stop, officers discovered Diaby's trucking company, 4U Logistics, 11 days earlier had been ordered by the FMCSA to cease all commercial transportation operations. The company had received an unsatisfactory safety rating following a comprehensive investigation. Less than a week earlier, so a week before that, on December 6th, Diaby was stopped in Ohio for a roadside safety inspection while operating 4U Logistics tractor trailer. Ohio State Patrol officer cited Diaby for records of duty status violations and for violating the FMCSA December 1st order to cease all operations. In addition, Diaby was previously convicted in the spring of 2008 of having one or more open alcoholic beverages in his truck cab. How did he get insurance? Who is the insurance agent that wrote the policy? Who is the insurance company that wrote a policy for a guy? that's a bonehead. You wonder why insurance rates are going through the roof and why people are getting 40, 50% premium increases when it's because of people like this. it's sad, but it's real news and it's something that has to be reported. Unfortunately, it's not something I like to report. But in other news, this is an article I wrote about this morning and a tip came from Vincent. Thank you, buddy. 188 to be laid off effective January 1st. Kenworth announced last week they will be laying off 188 people at the end of the month in their Ohio facility, with some Kenworth employees reportedly hearing of traditional layoffs. Well, that's an error. See, that's why I need an editor. Additional layoffs in February. This is to top the 100 laid off earlier this month. In our earlier reporting, which is an article we wrote about last week with Mac, this just comes week after the truck manufacturer Mack announced 305 layoffs at their Pennsylvania operations plant. Mack spokesman Christopher Hefner said the industry is continuing to manage through a period of excess inventory and reduced demand, which made the layoffs necessary. God, I can't talk today. These layoffs can be attributed to orders of new Class A trucks, which have fallen to the lowest level in a decade in 2019, citing a softening economy and the booking frenzy of 2019. With these new totals, it appears that from October to now, 3,500 truck manufacturing employees have been laid off, or have been or will be laid off in the first quarter of 2020. That is pretty gnarly. If you really sit there and think about it for a minute, that's a lot of people. You look at a trucking company, like when Celadon closed, they had 20, 3,000 employees, and how big that was. these layoffs aren't getting a lot of news. I'm reporting on them. I know FreightWaves reports on them a little bit. Some of the other people will just report on them because they're just trying to get views. I mean, ultimately, that's a goal for everybody. That's why I report on it. But I'm also trying to get the message across. Stop pricing your trucks at $125,000. And then maybe more people will be able to go and buy them. I personally, even if I had that money, I wouldn't go buy a new truck. I'd go buy 3 or 4 used trucks, you know, but that's me. Whatever. Oh, and here's a good one. I got to turn up the sound so I can make sure the thing's working. So this is a story out of India. And you may say, why am I covering a story out of India? One, because it covers
Amazon.
And secondly, because if you didn't know, my podcast is ranked 22nd in all-time business news in India. Go figure. I have no idea why, but it's pretty cool. At any rate,
Amazon
CEO Jeff Bezos said his company will invest $1 billion, $1 billion to bring small businesses online in Indiana, reaching out to some of his fiercest critics in a goodwill visit that saw him donning traditional Indian attire and fly a kite with children. I wish that I had the system set up properly so that I could, show you the picture, because he's sitting there dressed in Indian attire. At any rate, Amazon and Walmart's Flipkart have been hit with a barrage of criticism from India's brick-and-mortar retailers who accuse U.S. giants of violating Indian law with deep discounts and discriminating against small sellers by promoting big ones. The company denied the allegations. Amazon said it will set up digital centers in 100 cities and villages to help businesses get online to sell their goods and will offer support in marketing and logistics. And just like they did in the United States when they first started, they'll set it up so sellers can sell online. They're going to find out what products sell. They're going to white label their own products, and they're going to put all those companies out of business. And I don't mean to laugh, but that's exactly what's going to end up happening. And that's why the people in India are saying, No. There's a trade organization with 70 million members that is saying that they're going to protest in 300 cities. And India protests are different than the protests here, folks. So typically they get violent. People die. it's not great. Not all the time, but they did have 2 different protests last week. And I think a total of 50 people showed up. So that's not going to make the kind of impact that it's supposed to. But it's an interesting story. It's interesting to see what happens. And hopefully for some people are able to make money. I know quite a few people that in the Amazon boom, when it first started and the online selling and all that stuff, maybe one of you guys is still on LinkedIn. I used to ship your stuff to the Amazon retailers years and years ago. You don't do that anymore. You work for a different company. I think you work for Twitter. They made money. They made a lot of money, and they made money teaching people how to make money. So Amazon is good for that. I'm a proponent of Amazon's logistics marketplace and the brokerage thing that they're doing up in the Northeast that they don't tell anyone about. I'm into that. I'm into their distribution channels and all that stuff. And they're providing opportunity for independent owner operators with super cheap rates, but the people don't actually know that they could get more money. And they're just out there hustling and making money. I know a couple of companies that I consulted for that work on the Amazon Relay stuff, and they do very well, and they're happy doing it. It's just drop and hook stuff. They're happy. So as much as I joke about how Amazon
is taking over the world,
I don't necessarily mean it. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. I am someone who gets Amazon packages multiple times a week because it's a lot more convenient for me to order it on the computer than it is for me to go to Walmart, which is like a mile down the street. But it is what it is. I'm curious to see what actually happens with all that stuff. So let me read the comments. I'm going to throw up the phone line. If you want to call in, go ahead and call in. My number is right here. Oh no, I got to fix the, sorry, Trucker Tools. I'm cutting off the bottom of your logo, but I'll fix that later. I wasn't planning this. But again, my phone number is 914-803-4008. Call in. I don't have a call screener. You will be on the air. Please don't call in and tell me that my biceps are big. I know they are. It just seems like whenever the call-ins go, there's always weird phone calls like that. All right, let's read the comments and see, and then I'm going to get into my dialogue for the day. All right, so Aya said, what's up? What's up, buddy? Hope it's good. Hope it's going well. We haven't talked in a little bit, so we should catch up. Send me a message. Maria said, what's up? I'm sorry, I forgot to call you. I'll try to give you a call today. Brittany, what's up? I should start a band. You know, I always thought about starting a band, but then I said, nah, because I have stage fright, believe it or not. I have really horrible stage fright. It's different talking here and talking to my monitor and my camera. But in person, kind of choke a little bit, very tentative on what. And plus, when I'm singing super loud, and it'll annoy you. You should hear me sing Meatloaf, though. Woo, that song. Benjamin Grimmick said, what's up on YouTube? Actually, he said, love it, but what's up, buddy? Tylee on Facebook, what's up? Love the intro. It's different. It is different. Right Lane on YouTube said, you are better than Millie Vanilli. Mike Timmy said, LOL, dope. And then he said, man, that's bringing rates down with the BS average rate. Well, I'll cover that in a little bit because I disagree. But I'll cover that in a little bit. Just remind me later if I don't. Right Lane said, did I do 100 push-ups today? Nope, I didn't. I did 60 so far. I have another 40 to go. But today is also chest day at the gym, so I'm going to be hurting by the end of the day. BOC Enterprises, the idiot trucker, said he wants his trucker tool sponsorship. Cool, cool. Don Fuller said, present. What's up, Donnie? Donnie. Oh, no, I just did it. Brittany said, what's his company name? I can find out who insured him, LOL. I'll tell you. It was for you. For you logistics. I can guarantee you who it was. It was probably a big company that gets everybody and has super high insurance rates. And, you know, they sign you up and then they raise your rates later. And their name isn't Progressive. But who knows? I don't actually know that. I'm just kind of joking. All right. Let's see. Mike Timmy said he heard I'm popular in India. I am. I don't know what's going on there. Benjamin said, when you keep referring to low rates, high rates, and oh God, I can't read this. I got a cord in my way. Going up and down, which market are you specifically talking about? Van Reefer Flat Specialist. I don't know if you're talking to me. Rates are down across the board, but of course they are because it's the beginning of the year. They're always down. I didn't look at comparison to what they were last year, but actually last year I think ran a little bit longer. Well, we're halfway through the month, so they probably started coming down anyway last year. Rates across the board, dry van, reefer, flatbed, they're all low. And the problem is they didn't really go that high. And the end of December, when they should have been high, and after Thanksgiving to December, the rates should have came up and people should have been able to make a little bit of money, but it didn't work. It didn't happen. So hopefully it happens eventually. Jack of all trades on YouTube said, hey, Microlithic said, is there a best practice agreement for sub-agents? Yeah, there's a bunch of them. You can look them up online. Just, you know, my advice, don't get non-competes or anything like that. Let them build their own book of business. But for sub-agents and for freight agents and stuff like that, you have to, if you are an agent, if you don't own your own brokerage, or you are an agent, you're hiring sub-agents under, you have to verify with the company that you are an agent for, that one, you could take on agents, and two, what kind of legal requirements they have. Because even if there aren't any, like a lot of companies, there aren't any, you want to cover your butt. And make sure that. So the first thing I'm going to talk about today is the I want to say poor driver, but the driver that was in Jersey yesterday, and he got pulled in by, you know, DOT for an inspection. They pulled him in and then they came in and said, hey, you got to pay us $8,800 because you aren't registered and you haven't paid any franchise tax in the state of New Jersey. Now, I kind of laugh about it. It's not really funny. It's never happened to me. My company was based in Jersey, so of course it's not going to happen because I was already stuck paying the franchise tax. When I wrote an article, there's an article on my site, freightbrokerlive.com. If you go to freightbrokerlive.com, you can click or find an article. It's on there from yesterday. It was hard. It took me a long time to write the article, not because there wasn't a lot to talk about, because there's too much. There's so many. This program that they have on trapping out-of-state carriers with their, what I consider a ransom, which is, you know, basically an assessment of a franchise tax that you owe because you are operating and making pickups and deliveries in the state of New Jersey. So if you travel in Jersey, you have to register to pay taxes in Jersey. But while I was doing my investigation for writing more articles and more content about it, it's not new. And I've heard of it before. I heard of it happening to other drivers before, and I never really thought about it that much. But it's been going on since the 1990s, I believe. And the law has been on the books since 77, but they didn't start doing it until the early 90s. And it's raised, up until 2008, according to Overdrive.com, it's raised $60 million in just assessments alone. And this guy, Tom, who at that point, I believe, was heading up the program for the Department of the Treasury in New Jersey, he basically said they go out and they give these carriers, like this guy yesterday, Fowler, they gave him an $8,800 assessment. He's got 35 trucks. They just can make up that number and say, nope, you got to pay this much. You owe us this much money. Now, I think they track your mileage and everything through IFTA, because that's, or they could track it through, you know, the scale houses or whatever. But a lot of times in Jersey, they're not open, in my opinion. Except if you're going 75 or 78 westbound, that scale always seems to be open. But 78 eastbound isn't. I don't know. It's weird when you cross in. But they get these drivers that have to pay these big assessments. You know, they say, okay, you're driving in our state. Here's an assessment. I'm really curious, you know, what happens to the guy that just doesn't have $8,800, just doesn't have it, doesn't have the connections to go and borrow it from somebody else. Because from what I understand, they impound your truck. And if they can't get money out of you, they auction it off. You're not able to get the freight that's in the back. It's a state entity. It's not like a tow yard where you can go and sue them and get an injunction real quick and get your freight off of the back of the trailer or something. This is a state that is saying, hey, listen, you owe us money. We understand you didn't know you owe us this franchise tax, but if you don't pay us the money that we are now just pulling out, the amount that we're just pulling out of our butts, I'm censoring myself there, we're going to impound your truck and sell it at auction to make back the money that we are just magically deciding that you owe us. It's a really confusing thing. And the more I looked into it, so it's happened in New Jersey. New Jersey is one of the states that gets people all the time. But what I found out is that there's 22 other states that all have this franchise tax that say if you pick up and deliver in that state, you are required to file for a corporate tax. You're supposed to file, like in Jersey, it's $50 for the application, $500 for the year as the minimum corporate tax. So essentially, you got to do a tax return in 22 different states. But there's even more. Here's another thing that I found out, too. And this is all in my article from yesterday. There's 20 states that require you to file for a corporate, to register to pay corporate tax if you travel in that state. You don't even need to make a pickup. You don't need to stop to buy fuel. If you travel through that state, you are obligated by law. Some of them don't really enforce it. From what I've heard, Michigan is one that enforces it every now and then. Chicago is one that enforces it, or not Chicago, Illinois is one that enforces it every now and then. Pennsylvania has been known to enforce it, and rumor is they're going to start doing it quite a bit more. Jersey, obviously we know, which is crazy because where's the money go? Oh, I know what they do. They build these big stupid malls in Meadowlands with indoor ski slopes in amusement parks indoors that you can't go to because it's in such a bad neighborhood. You're worried about, you know, something happening. But that's what they do with taxpayer dollars. And every single major thoroughfare in New Jersey is a toll road anyway. So they're getting all that money. But nope, that money doesn't count because the toll roads are private businesses. Or someone told me that. I can't really verify it. But it's crazy. So what can you do to combat that? What can you do to combat these taxes? Well, here's the solution. Stay out of the states. But unfortunately, it's 22 states. If you want to see what state it or states it is, there's 22 states plus, it's basically half of the country. So if you want to see what states those are, go look up the article on my website. You should see it on the main page, I believe. It's been blown up on social media. It's had a couple thousand views already. So it's doing pretty well. But go ahead and read the article. It'll show you the states. And what you can do, you only have two choices. One, you have three. So one, you just don't travel in those states. Two, you register to pay taxes and do a tax return in each state when you do your taxes. Or three, keep doing what you're doing and wait until you get caught. It's inevitable. This guy, he's a 35 truck fleet from South Carolina. He's been driving for a couple of years. didn't even realize that this was even something. Nobody told him. You know, read comments online, not from me, but you read comments online from OIDA, from ATA, from all these big organizations that support trucks and support truck drivers. And I'm not crapping on them, but it's not something they say right away. Hell, I just did a 6 steps to company ownership. I didn't put it in there because I didn't even really remember it. It's something you never really hear about. But now, you know, because think about it, if you're driving, if you're an independent owner operator, and as Fowler said in his interview with me yesterday, if you're an independent owner operator, you got one truck, you just got done doing your year end taxes, paying your registration, doing all that stuff that you did. And then you're driving down, you're like, okay, rates have been crappy. You've got a couple hundred bucks left in your bank account. You just got to make this delivery, and you pull into a scale house, and it's the Department of Commerce inspectors come up and say, hey, listen, sir, how many times do you come through the state? Well, you know, once or twice a month. You ever make any pickups or deliveries here? Well, yeah. I mean, every now and then I do. Well, you're not registered to pay a franchise tax. So guess what? You owe us $8,800 or you owe us $1,000. And here's the catch. This guy, Tom, in that overdrive.com article from 2008, which was a very good article. I link it in my article. It was a very thorough article. you know, this guy, Tom, who apparently works for the state of New Jersey, said that they institute these high assessments in order to get people to appeal them. And the reason they do that is because then it's almost guaranteeing you're going to register to pay future tax. And he said, if you get the fine and if you don't appeal it, then they know you're trying to hide something and then they will audit you. Like, that is the biggest line of BS. And again, those were quotes from overdrive.com. I was not told this. I can only, you know, say that I read it. If this is true, this is by far one of the most dirty things I've experienced in trucking. It really is. Someone made a good point in one of the comments. How come brokers aren't responsible to pay for franchise tax? I 100% agree, and I'm a broker. I think a broker should pay franchise tax in any state that requires it because, we are profiting. We are making a pickup, and we are making a delivery in a state that requires a franchise tax. If you're making a pickup and delivery in that state, you're responsible to pay. So a freight broker should. Going even more forward, say I own a company in Florida. I hire a Florida-based carrier to pick up my load and bring it up to New Jersey. If the Jersey carrier or if the carrier gets stopped in Jersey and has this big fine that he has to pay, I also think that if you're going to do it across the board. Find me as a broker. Find me as the shipper. Hell, you're already finding the company that's in Jersey that it's delivering to because they're already paying the corporate tax as being the fact that they are, you know, a New Jersey corporation. But I have to pay tax in Ohio. I pay taxes in Texas. I pay taxes in Washington State. I pay taxes in Georgia and I pay taxes in Florida. Why? Because I had to register my company there because I have really good employees that live there. And I have to do it legit because otherwise I'll get audited and owe the IRS a whole ton of money and I try not to owe anything. So again, the only thing you can do about this in this particular situation is don't do what Toe Piglet on YouTube is saying and just run the scales because that's dumb and not really great advice. It's not that I haven't done it though, but it's not something you should do, but it's just wrong. It's wrong. It's another reason why I'm just like, man, drivers have it rough. Drivers have it bad. That little independent owner operator, yeah, you're getting screwed with high insurance premiums. You're getting screwed with crappy rates. You got to deal with brokers you don't like. You complain about brokers all the time. Fully understand why you do it. Hell, when I was a carrier, I complained about myself because I was still a broker at the same time. But you deal with bad people. You deal with, you know, rates going crazy. You deal with idiot four-wheelers that are driving like morons. You deal with the lack of parking. You deal with the lack of pay. You deal with bad bosses. You deal with crappy trucks. And now you may go to New Jersey and get stopped for a DOT inspection, and not you may be worried about your log. You may have just figured out all this stuff about your log, figured out your hours. Your truck is good. You spent a bunch of money repairing it, and then you get pulled in. And they're like, "Hey, here's you got to pay us. You got to pay us a franchise tax that you didn't know you owe." It's sad. It really is. And I can only say I apologize on all of humanity to Fowler and everybody else. Every tax-paying citizen, anyone who's ever paid taxes in New Jersey, should be writing their congressperson in Jersey and saying, listen, this is a BS rule, and this is a BS law, and everybody should. But instead, we're sitting trying to defund the FMCSA and do all the other stuff that everyone focuses attention on. Or stopping trucks doing 40 miles an hour down the highway. Not to say that what they're trying to do is wrong. There's got to be a better way. We need a new face for the movement. Whatever. My phone number to call in is 914-803-4008. You want to call in and give me your insight on this? Or has it ever happened to you? Call in 914-803-4008. Let's read some of these comments, and then I'm going to jump into the detention. I'm on a roll today, too. So this is, as I always say, I'm a carrier-centric broker. I mean, the way I look at things is I want drivers, and they are kind of my lifeline. They are how I make a living as a broker. They, you know, I've got drivers that watch this show every day and support me that way. And share out my videos and content. Oh, by the way, if you're watching this on Facebook, share it out to a different group. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you like and subscribe and follow and all that stuff. If you're watching this anywhere else, just do whatever you can do to get it out there, because I'm probably the one of the few honest people out there. And I'm not perfect by any means, but I also say that it's sad. It's sad. Trucking is sad right now, and I really want it to be good. I love this industry. I really want it to be good. I want insurance rates to be affordable. I want people to go out and be able to buy new trucks. I want rates to come up. I want fuel to go down. I want all that stuff. The thing you have to remember, when rates come up, guess who makes more money? Not just the carrier. So does the broker. Because granted, a lot of people say, oh, they make the same percentage no matter what. Yeah, percentage. Brokers make the same percentage, but the amount of money by percentage make less money. You know, I don't know. Rod Wilsford said, why would any of us want to be in the trucking business after that? I have no idea. And that's the problem. It's the trucking is not glamorous. And this rule in New Jersey is not a new rule. It's been in existence since, I think they said, 77. And it's not just Jersey. It's so many different states. There's so many different things. Alexandria Velolis, whatever, said, are they violating the Federal Aviation Administration Authorization Act of 1994? No. And I know that act applies to AB5 and all that crap. But no, because this is a state law that allows them to collect taxes on businesses that are in that company. You know who's exempt, though? Railroads, which doesn't make any damn sense, because railroads are specifically exempt from this business. Or, in one way, you could also be exempt, from what I interpret the law, and I'm not a lawyer, nor am I a tax person, if you offload your own truck. Because there's a link that I put in the article where it says a state, you know, an undated release from the state. It specifically says about loading or utilizing the material when it's delivered. And if that's the case, if you offload your own truck, you know, based on that, I don't know. But Vincent said, New Jersey needs to be transparent with their taxes. If I buy something and there's a sales tax, then it's shown on the receipt. They are transparent with their taxes. It's on their website. Google the New Jersey Trucking Nexus, or heck, New Jersey Nexus. This has been something that goes on for a long time. It's public record. It is there. It is something that goes on, and there's nothing anybody could do about it right now, except complain and whine and moan. The people that are based in New Jersey, there was a bunch of people that are like, oh, call your congressman. It's not going to work unless you're actually one of their constituents. This isn't a federal law. This is a state tax law. So the only people that actually have any bearing or weight, I would think, are the state legislators. Yeah, if you have a national, I mean, who are you going to call? Corey? No, I'm not doing Oh, you almost got me going there. I'm not doing that. The only thing you could do is call the state, your state assembly people, if you live there, or if you're impacted by it, because technically now, you know, the Fowler with the company that I'm mentioning, he's going to have to register with the he's going to have to go and register every year and do tax returns for the state of New Jersey because of this. They have him on record. If he doesn't, he's going to get taxed the next time he goes through. Any of you guys that are driving through, excuse me, Toe Piglet, if you're driving up through Jersey with your little rental hotshot and all that stuff, and you get stopped at DOT, they're going to do the same thing to you. Or, I mean, it's all dependent. I mean, these guys have the reputation of going to truck stops and looking and searching the DOT number and saying, okay, the company's based out of South Carolina, go in their little computer. Nope, they're not registered. Knock on the door and say, yo, you owe us this money. If you don't pay it, we're taking your truck. It is literally ransom. There is nothing, there's nothing right about it at all. At all. I don't understand it. You can't tell. It's really upsetting to me because I love this industry. And it's things like this that, just like Rob or whatever said on YouTube a minute ago, it's things like this that make people not want to work in it. It's things like this that just, it makes me not want to work in it. That article wasn't hard to write. It was upsetting. It was, I'm like, what do you do? What's your solution? One, spend more money. And it's an easy solution. Just register to pay the tax. It's $50 to register for the state. And then the lowest tax, if you make under 100 G's a year, it's like $500. If you make over 100 G's, under 200,000, it's like $1,200. And it goes up. And up to like 2 million, the max is like $2,000. It's not crazy. Those are the minimums for that. But then it's 7.5%, all this crap. But if you're a sole proprietor, or if you're an LLC registered as a sole proprietor or something like that, you're not liable for this tax either. So it's just if you're a corporation or if you are an LLC taxed as a C corp, I believe. But again, I'm not a tax person. If you got worries about it or anything like that, contact the tax person. I'm not a tax person, so don't take any of my advice unless you're not going to hold me responsible for it. So that's that. And while I'm on the drivers have the shitty end of the stick, darn, I swore I was trying not to swear during this episode. Well, now that we all know the drivers have the crappy end of the sticks, Toe Pig, because you're driving in the state, do you have a DOT number on the side of your truck? They're going to be able to tell. And here's the thing. If they stop and ask you, but in your case, they don't actually have a way to see if you're actually buying or purchasing anything in there. But if they stop and they ask you, because this is apparently what happens, and this is what happened to the driver yesterday, is they say, do you make pickups and delivery in our state? And if you say yes, you just locked yourself into whatever assessment they want to give you. It's not a fine. There's no fine on the rule books. It's literally them making up a number and charging you. And that's it. So, or just register. If you guys have the time, go. You could do it right online. Register for the stupid corporate tax and save yourself that way. And then keep the little tax receipt in your truck. And while you're at it, do it to the 21 other states that require you to do it. It's such crap. You should only have to pay tax in the state that you reside, in the state that you're actually supposed to pay tax in. But again, that's something for a different day. But while we're talking about how drivers are getting the crappy end of the stick, we had a comment yesterday in the group chat. Again, the phone number, if you want to call in, 914-803-4008. I pay money for this phone system, guys. So someone want to call in and make it worth it. At any rate, 914-803-4008. We had someone on the chat yesterday on YouTube, or I think it was YouTube or Facebook, that commented during the live video that said specifically, he was only getting $150 truck order not used after waiting for 4 hours. And I was a little bit harsh on the guy. And I said, you know, sucks to be you. Like, what can you do? And here's the truth of the matter. And I'm going to kind of lump detention, layover, and truck order not used all in the same thing. The reason why we as brokers get away with paying $250 for a truck order not used, or in his case, $150, or, you know, $250 for a layover. I've paid as low as $100 for a layover for the night. It's just, and I always use the excuse, oh, it's what my customer says. It's what my customer can do. Have I ever parked in my truck for $100? Nope. Have I ever been told that it was going to, that I'm not getting $250 or $300 or $400 or $500 to park? Like if I get to a place at 8 o'clock in the morning and they're telling me I'm not going to get offloaded till 11 o'clock the following morning, I'm certainly one, not staying there. And two, if they don't offload my truck, I'm taking it. And I'm taking that freight and I'm putting it in my warehouse and they're going to pay me to redeliver it and they're going to pay it before I even get there. And it's not holding freight hostage. If I'm not the one that missed an appointment or anything like that as a carrier, that's what I'm going to do, depending on where I am and all that stuff. But the people that are in control, sorry, I just like went boop, boop in the mic. But the people that are in control of detention rates, and this is going to sound silly. You guys are going to be like, whoa, this is not true. He's so full of crap. The people that are in charge of detention rates are not brokers. They are not shippers. They are carriers. The reason I say that is because if I have carriers continuously over and over as they're booking freight with me say, hey, my detention rate is $60 an hour. My detention rate is $60 an hour. Or even better, hey, man, I'll take that load, but I need you to put it in writing. I get paid $70 an hour for detention. Me as a broker, if I need to get the load moved, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to pick up my phone, call my customer and say, hey, this guy charges detention $70 an hour after 2 hours. Are you good with that? Guy says, yeah. I'm going to say, all right, shoot me an email. So I got it writing. I'm going to call the carrier back and say, hey, listen, I'm going to shoot you an email. We approve your $70 an hour. That's it. So it's just like everyone else says, if carriers all bunch together and do something all uniform and say, hey, listen, we need $70, $80, whatever. If you go outrageous and say, I need $20 an hour for detention or $200 an hour for detention, it's not going to make sense. But to me, a rationale, you have 10 hours of driving a day. Your truck, you profit. I don't care what you're, well, I can't really say that. But if your truck's making $800 a day, you're running 5 days a week, you're making money. And if you're not, you're certainly doing something wrong. So divide 800, well, whatever. So basically, it's $80 an hour is what it works out to. That should be the detention rate. That should be the new standard of detention. You're hearing that from a broker who says, the detention rates right now are crap. They're low. Look at the fuel costs. Here's a better example. I've been brokering freight for 15 years. I started my first trucking company 15, well, I don't know. My wife says it wasn't 15 years. She said it was like, I don't know, 13 years, whatever. Detention rate back then was $35 an hour. The only time I got paid higher than that, if 13 or 15 years ago, however long it was if I was sitting at the Javits Center in New York City, which I did as many times as I could because it was easy money. But with that outside, so the detention rate hasn't changed. I can't tell you what diesel prices were back then because I don't remember, but I know they were a lot lower than what they are now. The cost to operate my truck was lower. The taxes I paid on everything was lower. That what it cost me to employ people and have people work for me were lower. But why does everything else raise up but detention rates, which is a major issue in today's freight economy and one of the major issues for drivers? Why is that detention rate across the board usually the same rate? Because carriers do it. It's just like cheap freight because carriers take the loads. So try it. When you book a load the next time, say, hey, listen, man, I'd really like to get $60 an hour for detention. Put it on the Raycon before I even pick up the load. Not to say detention even happens, but just so you're covered and it has to be in writing. A broker can tell you something over the phone and then lie about it later and say you didn't do it. You should do that. I mean, that's my opinion. Again, you don't really have to do anything I say. That's just my opinion. But if I tell you, if I'm booking a load and I got to get a load moved very quickly and a carrier calls me and says, hey, I'll take that load for you, but I've been to this location. I know I'm going to end up waiting for 3 or 4 hours to get loaded. Send me something saying I get paid my detention rate, which is $70 an hour, $80 an hour, whatever. I'll go to my customer and say, hey, listen, I got a guy that's willing to pick it up, but he knows there's going to be a wait. He's familiar with a stop. He wants you to approve $80 an hour for detention. Now, if you're a broker and you're watching this and you're making that phone call to your customer, be a good broker and an honest broker. And if the carrier asks you for 70, go to the customer and ask for 70. If the carrier asks you for 80 an hour, go to your customer and ask them for 80. And then when you go back to the carrier, give them the right amount of money. Give them the amount you're getting paid for. Because a lot there's no reason any freight broker out there ever should make a profit off of accessorial fees, in my opinion. Well, there is only one circumstance, is if there was no cost incurred by the carrier, meaning you had a truck order not used, carrier didn't even go to pick it up, didn't even sign a rate con or anything, but you already spent the time building the load. Yeah, bill your customer if you want, and you can get away with it. Whatever. All right. So, and then moving on to the truck order not used. I have a lot of people listening. Nobody's commenting. Nobody's calling in. Phone number is 914-803-4008. So truck order not used is kind of the same thing. Because if you go to a pickup and you book it at 8 o'clock in the morning, you deadhead 70 miles to go pick it up. You get there at, 10:30 in the morning. And then they say, we're not going to have it ready until about 2. You call the broker. The broker says, all right, yeah, we'll pay you the $35 an hour for wait time. Wait there till 2. So you wait there till 2. Broker cancels the load on you, or the shipper says, hey, we're not going to get this load ready. You call the broker and you say, listen, man, the load's not going to be ready. He's like, all right, man, I'll send you a truck order not used for $250. You just lost your entire day for $250. Yeah. Are you going to be able to find another pickup depending on where you are? If it's 2:30 in the afternoon after sitting all day waiting on a load? Nope. Probably not. Maybe you will if you're fortunate, or if you got a great dispatcher like Merge Transit. I was trying to think of something clever to say there, but Merge Transit is a dispatcher. That's why I threw them out there. And they're hopefully going to be one of our sponsors in the future too. But it's just that. And do you have control over a truck order not used rate? Yeah, but not really, actually, because if you call me and you say, hey, man, I'll take this load, but if the load cancels, you got to pay me $800 for a truck order not used. I'm going to say, nope, I'm not going to go to my customer and do that. So how can you combat that? How can you get better at doing it? Here's the simple solution. Book your loads in advance. Sure, you're going to have stuff that happens. Loads are going to cancel. It's kind of part of the job as a broker. It's part of the job as a carrier. It just be ready for it. But the guy yesterday that sat for 4 hours and didn't have any, you didn't even know, you don't wait that long for a shipment. You don't. If I'm waiting an hour and the customer's like, I'm already going to know whether that load is going to be ready or not. And if the customer says, no, that load's not going to be ready, I'm going to call the broker and not wait for the broker to say, okay, go ahead, you can leave now. I don't care about $250. I care about making $800 for the day, so I'm going to bounce. But that's me. So in terms of detention, we cover that. You guys all should be charging every single broker $80 an hour at a minimum, $60 an hour at a minimum, but upwards of 80. It shouldn't be more than $80 an hour to sit, in my opinion. But you guys do what you want. Truck order not used. You're going to get whatever the customer is going to get, or whatever the customer is going to give. I've had customers that just say, I'm not paying a truck order not used. It's my fault. It's not my fault. It's the shipper's fault. They didn't have the freight ready. I can't take the loss. I'm not making any money on this. So you know what ends up happening at that point? I end up forking up the money for it. It's my responsibility. It's my responsibility to make sure the carrier stays happy, because ultimately, like I say in every single video, a carrier is my customer too, because I have to work my butt off to sell the carrier to take the load. And I got to make sure the carrier stays happy so he doesn't besmirch me or say bad things. I got to work very hard to make sure that carrier is happy with me and is willing to take the load the next time I have it. And that's the mindset every single freight broker out there should have. I don't care if you work for one of the big 3-letter brokerages. I don't care if you work for a small one load a month brokerage. Carriers are your customers. So go to bat for them. If your customer says, I can only pay $150 truck order not used, you say, nah, man, industry standard is $250. You got to pay that, bud. And if they don't, and I've done that a number of times, and I don't know if it's because I sound overbearing on the phone and I'm like, you will pay. I press the wrong button, but I don't know. But customers typically will listen to me. It is what it is. If I say, oh, no, this guy's going to charge me $250, I'm going to bill you $250. I don't even ask a question at that point. They say, that's it, I'm billing you. You don't like it, I'm not working with you anymore. Because a carrier is more important than a shipper in some circumstances, and this is one of them. Now, getting over to the layovers, again, it's base. That all has to be pre-negotiated. And it's very hard sometimes because you don't know. If you miss an appointment, you're not going to get a layover. You're going to sit and wait, and it's not the carrier's fault. It could be weather, or it's not the broker's fault. It's not the shipper's fault. It's not the receiver's fault on certain circumstances. Man, I'm having a hard time talking today. But if you go to a place and you have an 8 o'clock appointment on a Tuesday, because that's what your rate confirmation says, and you get there and they're like, oh, your appointment's for 8 o'clock on Wednesday. Do you know what you do at that point? Not much. You don't fret over it much, because on the rate con, when you book the load, you told the carrier that if there is a layover fee, your layover fee is $800. And by him assigning that load to you, he agreed to it. If you don't have that on your rate confirmation, guess what? You call that broker and he's like, you know what, man? I messed up. Sorry, man. Yeah, I'll pay you $50 for having to sit there and lose 2 days of work. Sorry. Yeah, customer's not going to pay anything. I'll tell you the secret of what brokers are doing at that point. They're calling, especially unless it was their screw up. But if it was their customer's screw up, they're telling you, oh, this and this and this and this. But then they go to, all right, so here's a comment. Tyson Lawrence on Facebook said, and I'll come back to circling back with the layover. Cover your ears, Tyson, because I'm about to rip you a new a-hole. Not really. Tyson Lawrence said, if you're going to bat for the carrier, why shouldn't the broker be able to make, I'm guessing he means just $5 or $10 on the negotiation with the customer? Simple. Because that, with the same mindset, then why don't we use a national standard for the cost to operate a vehicle, and then let you make $5 or $10 per load that you move? Is your job as easy as a freight broker? No, your job's way harder. But the fact is we do a lot of stuff that you don't see. The sales aspect of the job is a little bit more complex than you understand, or that carriers understand. And if it wasn't, then you wouldn't be working with brokers, because you would have the knowledge and the ability to go out and get your own shippers. But the mindset of saying, why can't a broker just make $5 or $10 with negotiation? You know, because why? That's like you saying, okay, well, I had a carrier that pulled a load for $1.10 a mile, so you should just make $1.10 a mile. And guess what? I'll pay you an extra $20 so you can profit. Doesn't make any sense, right? My job as a freight broker is to connect a shipper and a carrier. And make sure that the shipment gets delivered on time and in a reasonable fashion, to make sure the carrier gets paid, make sure the shipper's happy, and then hopefully be able to connect and make more business and make two new connections there. That is the job. Oh, you said that was a broker perspective? I don't know what you mean. But The brokers do a lot of stuff. Brokers do a lot of stuff. The sales stuff. I'll be honest, once we get the customer, once I land a customer, it's super easy. Ask the people that work with me now. That customer just sends over a load list. We pick and choose which loads we want. We barely have to make outgoing calls. Customers call in. They want the load. We call the customer and say, hey, man, we got a carrier for this load. And he's like, sweet, let me send it to you. We send over the rate confirmation to the carrier, and boom, we make $150-$200. So we do that 15 times a day. Yeah, we're making pretty good money. But I spent 5 years nurturing that customer, making no money at all while I was trying to build a business and build those customers up. It's the same thing as you. You're spending money to buy trucks and to buy equipment and to learn how to truck and to do that kind of stuff. You know, you hear so many times that people are like, oh, brokers should be regulated. And those are the very same people that are like, there's too much regulation in trucking. We know ELDs, this and that, this and that. It just goes back and forth. Andrew Wood said, I think he was saying that if the broker is going to bat for the carrier, should he be able to make a profit off it too? Oh, is that what you mean? Because why would you? You're not the one sitting there and waiting. Plus, in all reality, All right, so I take that back, Tyson. I apologize. So what Tyson was asking, if I'm going to a carrier asking for detention pay of, you know, $80 an hour for the carrier sitting. Why can't I make $10 off of that load? Here is a simple solution. One, I'm already making a percentage off of the gross profit of the load before accessorial fees. Meaning, if the load is paying $1,000, the carrier is making $800, I'm making a $200 profit on the load. Why do I need another $10 for what literally takes me a phone call or an email or a text message or anything? Why do I need more money? Am I the one sitting in my truck waiting and waiting aimlessly at some point with nothing to do because I didn't remember to bring my tablet with me or my phone was shut off so I don't have any internet, whatever the reason is? There's no reason to do it. That's my opinion. And brokers don't need to listen to me. Carriers don't need to listen to me. If you're happy with $35 an hour for detention, be happy with $35 an hour for detention. It doesn't concern me. What concerns me is that there's so much animosity between truck drivers and brokers and people yelling and arguing and all that stuff. It's sad, dude. I mean, Tyson, 100%, you shouldn't be making money on accessorial charges. I don't care. No matter what you're doing, you're not negotiating. As I've been doing this for 15 years, bud, and I've been, you know, I've booked millions and millions of dollars worth of freight a year. It doesn't take a lot of negotiation to call a carrier or call a customer and be like, hey, bud, yeah, driver's over there. He's been sitting for 2 hours. Just want to let you know the driver's going to charge me $75 an hour for detention. Well, oh, you can't pay $75 an hour. Well, I'll let the carrier know our standard policy is $50 an hour. So we're going to be billing you $50 an hour. We'll make sure we get your in and out times, and I'll cover the other $25. Oh, no, you don't want me to lose money? Oh, sure. Yeah, oh, you'll pay? Okay. That's the whole thing. So do I deserve an extra $20 for the load? No, the carrier does. That's my belief. How you run your own business, Tyson, is your deal. That's not the way I do it. You know, my job, again, I'm different. I treat carriers like they're customers, you know, so I want the carrier to come back and keep being happy. Andrew Wood said on Facebook, I've had brokers call me after we agreed on detention price and say they got me a little more. In that case, I'd be fine with them making a profit off the labor. I mean, that's all up to you guys. I'm just saying the way I do it. All right, so we can stop going on the back and forth because I'm just saying the way I do it, it doesn't necessarily need to, you don't need to agree with it. That's the privilege of having this show. You know, I say my opinion. I'm pretty forthright. I don't always say I'm right. In this instance, and I don't think any of my agents do it either, or my employees, we don't charge on accessorial fees. It's just, in my opinion, it's not something that we should be doing because we are making a profit on the original load. That's my opinion. You know, when I had owner operators running under my company, my fleet, I would pay them a detention rate of $50 an hour or $40 an hour, whatever it is. If I only got paid $35, I'm eating it. If I got paid $60 an hour to sit, if they're an owner operator, they got the full $60 an hour to sit. That's the deal. If they're an employee, hell no, they got an hourly rate to sit. But that's just the way I do things. And I agree. I understand not a lot of people agree with it, but whatever. I don't think brokers should make any profit off accessorial rates, and I'm going to kind of stick to it because that's the truth. But with that said, layovers, this is a big thing. You guys have to pass on your layover costs at time of booking to the broker, and it should be done automatically. Like, you know, when you give your truck number or your phone number, even when they're trying to like, oh, all right, yeah, you'll take that load. All right. What's the driver name? What's the driver phone number? Oh, what's your detention rate? That would be nice if brokers just did that automatically. Detention rate, what happens in case of a layover? How much you charge? That stuff, it doesn't do it. So it's your job to do it. And what you could do is if you call a broker and you say, hey, the load is, you know, whatever, I'm picking it up. If I got a layover, my layover fee is $500. I need you to put it on the rate con and then I have no problem signing it over. Well, what... Me personally, I'd sign it because at that point I'd see it and I'd call my customer and say, hey, listen, this guy says as an insurance policy in case this load cancels or if he's got to wait at delivery for whatever reason, as long as it's not his fault, he charges $500. You good with that? Customer says, yep, boom, that's it. Load's booked, it's happy, carrier's happy, and they have security. You can't be that mad over a layover fee if you're not doing your job and arranging it the right way. And that's why I was saying with the driver responsibilities, the role and responsibilities, that's one of the, that's your responsibility is to lock in your detention rates and your layover rates and all that stuff. And I know a lot of people don't like it. And it is what it is. You know, I get a lot of email from people or messages after these videos end, and they're like, hey, man, really like it, super helpful. And then it seems like once a week now I'm getting a message from a broker that's like, you shouldn't be saying this, and it gives brokers a bad look. And it's true. I know. I am. There's a reason why brokers don't make YouTube and don't make Facebooks and don't make these shows, because it's not a glorious job. You know what I mean? Especially when rates are so low and all that stuff. All right, whatever. But that's what was said with that. Just in terms of being a truck and getting and or a trucker and getting what's out there, just do what you need to do, bud. Make money. Like Craig says, make money, take names, act professional, all that stuff. And I don't mean to mock him, but it's true. It's a good motto. It's just I don't wear collared shirts, so I can't pop the collar. You guys just got, you kind of control your destiny. If a carrier calls me and says, hey, I charge $500 an hour for layover, I need that on the rate con in order to take your load, I either will put it on the rate con or I won't move with that carrier and I'll try to find another one. So it is what it is. All right. So we have a couple of comments. Tyson and Andrew, you guys both said, fair enough. Gotcha. Travis Fowler, he's the guy with the $8,800 fine from the state of Jersey. He said on Facebook, thanks for getting the word out there about my unfortunate event in New Jersey yesterday. I did have to end up paying. I just wanted to be sure to get the word out and make other companies aware and hopefully prevent a big hit to them. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I don't know if you're, people are going to forget about it in a week. You know, your article, I wrote an article on it. I forgot to send you the link, but you can find it on freightbrokerlive.com. I am Steve. I'm the one that you were chat with yesterday, but it sucks because it'll be news for a week and then it'll be gone again. That's the way it always is. That's the way it is with everything. Celadon, that was a big shutdown. Who remembers Celadon? I don't know. They're already in like the flags of the past and all that stuff. It's just, that's the thing with transportation, is everyone finds something new to argue about. You know, go to that truckers.com group. You want to see how quickly they lose focus and start talking about something else? Good group. I understand what they're trying to get across. Don't really agree with the way they're trying to do it. But if you want to see how quickly everything changes focus, first it's defund the FMCSA. Then it's this. And then it's ELDs. And then that doesn't work. So it's something else and something else and something else. And I think it's just a membership thing, but who knows? Transportation, this logistics industry needs a new voice. I'm not it, but it needs a new voice for us, for the little guys. You know, we got the C-level guys, we got the ATA, we got ATRI, we got all those, or ATRI is ATA, but you know, we got those big ones. Oh, even OIDA, they're out there, they're trying to help. A lot of people don't like them, whatever. You know, they're out there trying to do stuff. What it is, I don't know, because I don't pay close enough attention to actually care. I can sit here on Facebook, on YouTube, on my podcast, available on iTunes and the Google Play Store, everywhere. We're number 22 in India. Woohoo. But you know, I can only just vent about it. I can't make the changes at this point. So it is what it is. But as always, my name is Steve Oatley. This is Freight Broker Live. I broadcast essentially live at 2 o'clock every single day. Usually the shows aren't this personal. I just happen to feel very strongly about New Jersey and the fact that this, you know, Travis there got pretty screwed over in this instance, you know, and I could say, oh, someone else need to talk about dispatchers. I've talked about dispatchers a bunch. I'm not going to spend too much time on it. Here's my talking point. According to research, or according to a statement that I received from the FMCSA directly, all dispatch services are required to be licensed freight brokers. So my advice to anybody else, and I don't want big dialogues with any you know, home-based dispatchers or anything like that, but my personal communication with the FMCSA as of December 2019, they confirm that everyone that's acting as a dispatcher booking freight for multiple carriers, whether or not they have POAs or not, powers of attorney. Doesn't matter. They are all required to be licensed. So as of this point, if I see people in my groups, advertising dispatch groups, because if you guys don't know, I have the trucker load board and flatbed freight load board. Both of those are in their Facebook groups, essentially. And I try to keep them, I spam them with all my videos and my writing articles and stuff like that. But other than that, I try to keep it strictly load board stuff. But I will be deleting dispatchers that don't have broker bonds at that point, because I now know that's what it is. Here's another thing. If they don't have an MC number, they're not allowed to have direct freight. But with that said, I'm not going to jump on the whole dispatching bandwagon, because it's common sense at this point. Everybody knows it. All right. So again, if you guys didn't see, I am now sponsored for this month by Trucker Tools. Trucker Tools is a mobile application available on Android and iOS devices, and it is loaded. And when I say loaded, I mean completely packed with all sorts of features and apps. I'm going to not read this so it doesn't sound that bad, but they have a truck stop guide and fuel prices. They have routing and fuel optimizers. They have truck wash locations. They have rest area locations. They have scales. They got a message board. They got a Facebook page link. They got information about permits and IFTA. You can't really see this, but see all those little dots? Oh, God, that's shiny. See all those little dots? Those are all the different applications they have in this app, not even to mention their load tracking and their load board functionality and any of that. They just have so much. It's such a valuable tool. I've had it for years on my phone. I think everyone should have it, not just because they are an awesome sponsor, but because everybody should have it. With that said, if you never watched my videos before, please make sure to go ahead and go to YouTube and like and subscribe, or do whatever you do on YouTube. Make sure you hit that bell, because it'll send you a notification when I go live on. I go live pretty much every day at 2 o'clock Eastern time. Occasionally, if there's a breaking news story or something, I'll jump on live. Or if I get super pissed off at my job or something, I'll jump on live and vent about it. But other than that, it's 2 o'clock Monday through Friday. Check out freightbrokerlive.com for all sorts of breaking news and articles. I've got a Freight 101 section that has, startup information if you're looking to start a brokerage, if you're looking to start a carrier side, if you're looking to do anything. We've got a deal going on with Ascend TMS, and it is active, but I haven't set it up on the website. So if you are interested in getting Ascend TMS, whether you're a carrier or whether a broker, it's the number one free TMS system. But if you sign up and become a premier member, I've negotiated a deal where I can give you 10% off. Plus, you will also get their exclusive shipper list automatically. It'll be included as soon as you activate your license. Plus, they kick me back a little bit of a referral fee. So it's awesome. But I think it's one of the best softwares. It's one I've been referring to everybody for a long time. So I figured, hey, let me try to get a referral fee. If you're trying to set up a phone here, I'm just going to say everybody that sponsored me. If you're trying to get a phone system, contact me. I'll set you up with Ring Central, which is literally, I was almost going to pick up my phone and throw it at the monitor, but it's the best phone system you can have. Polycom powered, phones. They're on your iPad or on your cell phones and tablets, and you can take a work line, 800 numbers on the road, answer it. You can forward it off, make you sound more professional, even if you're a little independent owner operator. And of course, the DAT load board. DAT is my go-to load board for everything. There are a couple of load boards, but DAT is my go-to. It's the one I use the most. It's the one I've been using since I started in this business, when I finally figured out that load boards existed. And they are as well a sponsor of this program, and I really enjoy my sponsors, and it allows me to keep doing all this stuff and making all this content and keep it free, forever free. Make sure you go to iTunes and download, give me a review on iTunes and say, hey, listen, this guy sings like a god and is awesome. And we'll go from there. And let me find this thing. I'm going to give you guys a treat. I'm going to sing my way out here. Hold on. Let me get this. Yeah. Freight Broker. Freight Broker. Not really. I'm going to end it right now. See you later. Bye.